Yeah, so we started discussing last week, what do we do when science and Torah collide? Does Jewish law change? In other words, the example we started off with was the Gemara in Shabbos about killing lice. The Gemara says clearly, even though the Torah says lo sirtzach, we can't murder humans any day of the week, but animals generally we're allowed to kill during the week. You could do shechita, but on Shabbos you can't kill animals because it violates netilas neshama. It violates one of the 39 malachas. So yet the Gemara goes along and says, but one is permitted to kill lice on Shabbos. So how could you kill lice? Ah, what about netilas neshama? So Gemara says, Mishum she'eino paru rava. They don't do pru or vu. In other words, basically, the simple reading of the Gemara is spontaneous generation. They come from schmutz, they come from dirt, and therefore, they're not living beings, they don't have a din of a summon alive. And therefore, pashtus you could kill. And that seems to be at the Rambam himself, who was a big scientist. The Rambam also, everyone knows the ABC, everyone knows about spontaneous generation. So clearly, from the days of Louis Pasteur and on, and we clearly know now that spontaneous generation is a joke. In fact, if you go back probably 50 years and look at the medical books, it'll be a joke. The medicine has changed. And what about we have the new doctors today in Canada? Ones who aren't even doctors anymore. So they'll have to have a class on that. On this, you know, do they have a din of refu on Shabbos? Do we consider them doctors? That would be another topic. So Nancy will have to come to that one. Your mother-in-law.
Oh, that's okay. Thanks for giving her a shout-out.
Exactly, yeah. No one knows
they're
who
calling
you
are. Kishu.
No one knows who you are. Exactly. You know, are these the same doctors who deny vaccinations or not? I just want to know. Okay.
I don't think it's all or nothing, but
we'll bring back all the poxes and have 100,000 dead. Is that the issue? But either way, so getting back here. You're not going to get much sympathy
for
the anti-vax. My bias is Torah, but my bias is from the Torah that we accept science. It's like, what do you like, Rav Cook? People complain, Rav Cook, he's always speaking about Eretz Yisrael. He says, what do you want from me? You open up the Chumash and Parashas Lech Lecha, that's all the Tanakh talks about. So blame the Torah, don't blame me. So either way, so how do we reconcile? So now it's clear that we know they do come from eggs. So does the halacha remain? The Gemara says it's mutter to kill lice. But not based on science, we know it's not true. So therefore, they come from eggs. So therefore, does the halacha change? So it's one thing to say nishtana hateva. It's another thing to say the halacha changes also. The two different steps there. So that was the Pachad Yitzchak, not Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, but Rav Isaac Lapronte, who he's actually quoted in the Bug article. Actually, I saw him that he was a doctor also, I think, in Italy. He was involved with the new sciences at the time. So he writes, he says, now that we know today the medical science isn't based on any Kabbalah, according to him, and therefore, that's it. You throw it out the window. Who cares what they said then? We know a lot more now, and therefore it's usher. We don't like the result. Mothers won't like the result, and you can't kill lice anymore today on Shabbos. And in fact, there's a story with the stipe where the different versions, but I'll say the way Rav Schechter thinks the version is. Other people have the reverse version. I guess there's two blad in Gemara Gin. It talks about all the medical. So it was a whole I think when he was learning Gin, I think he said he skipped the two blad. It's Bittul Torah. It's not, in other words, I think they say the same thing with the stipler, that either the yeshiva, I think they did the two, but he said you should have skipped the two blah. I guess the shy was, could you learn this two blah in the bathroom or not? Because he held it's not Torah anymore. It's just the medical, and the medical is ridiculous. It's, you know, we don't follow it anymore, and that's it. So how, you know, or you say, no, everything
that's
is...
That's chapter 7.
Yeah, basically, that's his sentiment. He skipped, when he learned Gin, he skipped it. He holds it spittle toe. No, that I'm taking. I'm taking it to the next extreme. He doesn't say
totally
that.
Different.
He doesn't say, but l'chore, if it's spittle Torah, that means it's not Torah, and therefore you could. He didn't say that far. I'm just making it more extreme. He did, you know, that had it to do. So, So the question is here, that's where Rav Shir Yagon writes, you know, all the medical stuff you throw out. In fact, I think it's Rabbi Kivei, Yam Shosh, other Achronim write that it's usher to learn, it's usher to learn and teach the medical science from the Gemara to people. Why? Because they'll make fun of Chazal, they'll make fun of the rabbis, it'll be a mockery of Judaism. So it's usher to teach that kind of stuff anymore, because we know it's not true, and they were just basing it on the science of the time. It's not based on, you know, so you have different schools and stuff like that. So Rav Isaac O'Brien, who was very big into the modern science, I think he was in Italy, and he says, okay, that's the way it is. It's very simple. Can we follow the science of the time? That is the Masorah. The Masorah says speak to your doctors and scientists. And so lies we find out, okay, so it's very, what's the big deal? The Shtana HaTeva, maybe the lies then were different. Either right now we know the way it works is you can't kill lies. His Rebbe, Rabbi Brill, whoever he was, he didn't go for it. He said no, that it's based on Kabbalah, other things, and therefore he wasn't so quick, he wasn't so quick to buy into it. And he says, so you had a whole discussion there. So over here they quote, so I'm just going to quote from Rabbi Yashav about so we went in giving, so we discussed, we asked them, we had different approaches. So either you take the approach that, okay, so in the Shtana Teva, the Gemara is wrong, and that's it. What's the big deal? It's medical, it doesn't take away from my Muna, and therefore that's it. Others say, no, the Gemara is always right, it's based on a Kabbalah, and therefore we have to come up with another reason why, as we'll see, as Rav Shlomo Zalman did, or Rav Dessler in different ways in terms of that. So he quotes here, the Gemara of a poskim, Mubuar, Sha Mutta Laharo Kinim Bishabis. The lock in the Gemara, explicit Gemara, it's Mutta to kill guys. Amnon, Lagabi, I mean, it's us to kill people. Amnon, Lagabi, Harikas Kinim, Shabi Yamenu, Bizmana Zed, now we know it's not true. Yesh Hamorim, it's better today, since we know this, it's better to avoid the situation. We know. And okay, so now here he quotes from the poskims. So, Besefer Pachad Yitzchak, that's us. Kosev Lahachmir, he says it's us, sir. He said, well, you know, the Kain, and he writes other Torah Shabbos, other people. The Kain Shamano, B'Shem Harav El Yoshev Shlita. I guess that's how now. But Shlita then. The Yeshri Iman, he says it's best one should stay away and not kill lice today. In other words, he's going like the Pachad Yitzchak apparently. Uba Shalos Uba's Leif Chayim, and then the Chayin Shalad of Hashem or of Shlomo Zam and Arabach. So their saying is it's better. So, you know, we could discuss what they actually hold, but then we'll find a little more. Then the Inyan Katan. So in general, he's just saying killing lice in general. What happens if a kid is infested with lice? That's a different story. Inyan Katan, Shakina Mitzara Moso Ma'od. I thought by definition Ma'od. I know definitely Ma'od are the parents who have to take it out also. That's why I always ask the parent, Sarah, and you are the kids. But so he says, so Matino Meharav Rav Yashav Shita, Shamutta Larates Arosho. Chomer Kito Kinim, he says, if the kid's infested, it's a Sar Gadol, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. To welcome Sar Gadol, Yesh Lismoch al Pashtas Dina de Gemara. Now he's saying something totally different. He's saying, Ma'ikar Adin. So basically he's saying you go with the Ikar Din al Gemara, it's Mutter, and that's it. He's just saying, if you could be Machmer, why not because of the change? But obviously, the root of halacha is always me'ikir adin. If you want to know what someone says, you can't figure out from a chumrah. You got to see what the ikir adin is. So clearly, Rabbi Yashav is learning, even though he says it's better not to, but he thinks me'ikir adin is mutter because for whatever reason, either he's going to go with whatever the reason he'll give why, and he says me'ikir adin agamar it's mutter. Therefore, he says you can do it. So we like the result anyway. But Odesh, and then he says anyway, in addition, but Odesh was sarv as shita sapostim, because with other reasons is reason to be makel, because we know that the killing lice is a malacha d'rabban. It's a malacha shein etzricha l'gufa. You're not killing the. So number one, so it's a din d'rabbanan. And we know a katan, I guess it depends what type of katan, but katan have a kecholesh ein bo sakana. Many kitana, many minors, have a built-in halacha of a cholesh ein bo sakana. So therefore he says, so in a case of sargada, mavur shambarama, but v'hacha havi malacha jarban, and kevi malacha jizvikulufa, therefore, even without that, you know, even without getting into the issue of life, so therefore, the lamaisa, both Rav Shlomo Zalman, but it's easy to be machmir, that they say, even though mikra dinat gemara, it's but their best to be machmir, but b'makam sarach, they seem to assume a ikra, opposed to the pachad yitzchak, I don't know if he's saying it as a chumrah, he said, you know, so then you could come on to another reason why, it's mutter cholesh ein bo sakana, but doesn't, see, when you get to the bottom of halach, it's not, you know, you don't necessarily have clarity on what, you have to go back and figure out the shita, so that they could come up. But either, so the bottom line is, they both say best not to kill lice on Shabbos, if it's not a big sarach, but if there is a sarach, even without that issue of the Gemara anyway, you have the issue of malacha, so that, you have malacha chen and tzvik l'gufa with a katan, which is a cholesh shein bo sakana, so there's what to rely on anyway. Yeah.
Not with some cloth that you got or anything else like that, but just like when you're using shampoos and stuff like that for lice, like that's what people tell me that they don't use them to kill them. So just understanding that, like the fact that it's an indirect type of combing as well.
Wait, so therefore you say what?
You have to comb the hair out. So there's a child as far as, you know, combing your hair on Shabbos and the potential of removing hair.
But you give before you give me a reason why you should be
making them up. So just understand that it, is it because he doesn't seem to mention why it's. Obviously, it's because of the pain that the person is going through.
Yeah,
sorry,
he's done.
It's
Sargado of the Katan. That
so that's because he's
talking about a special shampoo. He was not talking about the special brush for kids.
That's what I'm saying. So there are a combination treatment of actually removing the nits and the lice.
He was just mentioning the
He was talking about the spray.
I don't know what the
concept is. Yeah, the Rashi says Rosh Chomer Kotel Kinim. That's the spray. Yes, he's not talking about even like using that. But yes, I guess. But he's saying.
So
he's not talking about the comb. But again, that would be also if you get it to a drabanan and it's a cholesh ein bo sakana, so then it should be mutter. So I'm just saying. So it's not clear. In other words, if someone tells you. It's usher, then it's clear what they're holding. If they say the ikar adin, the halacha is it's usher, then they're clearly saying they're rejecting the. If they're saying it's mutter, so then you're not. It's unclear what you know. I mean, no, they're saying mutter, but then there'll be because it's different approaches. It's either you follow the Gemara is always right, science is always right, or probably a much more nuanced approach. It's case by case, as we're going to see. It's not going to be a standard thing. We're going to go through different cases where sometimes we, even though science disproves it, do we still follow it? And other times, so it's going to be, you know, it's, when you get into every nuanced case, it's going to end up being, we're going to see it's not going to be consistent throughout what we accept, what we don't accept. It's not going to be, and you know, every case could be different. So in terms of that, so therefore, actually I have his lesson right here, the Pachad Yitzchak, actually, right? All right. The lav call. Of course, he says, you know, I want people to agree with me. You know, he starts off with this humble approach, but then I'll just call you the key words here. The lav call mile this amru b'gemara. Not all the words in the Gemara mipi kabbalahem. El chachme Yisrael dibru gam heim lepam bnei haseichel v'akakiris v'anush. They spoke logic. They spoke to different doctors, and that's what. And then his Rebbe doesn't go for that. Cheetahs for a brill. Ain was them imashin nifsak api gumartano afil called dochas any chakira shawan. It's always it's the vim kain havi din emes viyatze v'nochum akayim al makomo the English knows klal the ikir machmas tuna. So he says the Gemara is always right. You just have to figure out you know why they're right. So you have two different then there's somewhere in between. Yeah. So in terms of yeah. So He actually talks about it in the bugs, but that's where it came up. The issue was, the big issues in the Achronin came out between like the 16th and 18th century. That's when, at least that's where it's spoken about. So actually, I guess Stephen Adams must be a Talmud of David Feinstein. That's what he claims. It's an article from, what's that, Flappish Journal?
Yeah.
Akira, yeah. So I'm just going to quote some, underline some key stuff, you know, that we mentioned last week. We'll go over. So he basically points out, he wants, his premise is that there, even though everyone agrees in principle that re'iyah means seeing it with your eyes, and not, and everyone agrees that a if you need a microscope or anything, it's not al pi halacha. But nevertheless, once you start seeing how many bugs there were, you're going to be influenced by, even though al pi. So he says. He says, many people today assume that leafy vegetables must be thoroughly washed and inspected. Yeah. Then I argue, meaning him, that the rabbis of the Mishnah, Talmud, and the medieval era ignored these tiny insects and ate the greens without careful rinsing or inspection. This lenient halacha continued until the 17th century, when some rabbis wrote of the existence of very small bugs in salad greens, etc. And he wants to claim that is at the same time the scientific revolution of the 16th, when they came out with all these type of single leg magnifiers, burning all these things. I don't know the details, but all the, he has a whole history, which I'm skipping, but you could, 1590, I skip most of the article. He goes into how I believe him on that, that's when microscopes and all that stuff came out. And then he shows that that even though everyone agrees in principle that we don't care about anything, in fact, that's the way we pass. In other words, what about glasses? Forget, before we get to what about seeing through your glasses? Is that considered seeing? Do we know seeing with my eyes is seeing? What about if someone who wears glasses and they see? Is that considered seeing, or that's like a microscope, or you know, or a magnifying glass? So we assume basically the halacha that glasses count as your, it's an extension of your eyes. It's more, I assume that when you do with glasses, you're not going to be able to see better than like if your eyes were good, maybe a drop, some doctors say, but you basically gets back to what you were missing. It's like taking antibiotics, like. Well, someone's sick, they get better, so if you're healthy, you take it, it's filling a deficiency. So even though there are those, the Chazon Ish, people are machmir. Like, I know there's some people, when it comes to reading Parsha Zachar, but they go where they read it 50 times, so one, they take off their glasses, or they find the Baal Kori, doesn't matter. So there are Chazon Ish, there are people who are machmir in certain cases where you take off your glasses. That's not the accepted norm, but let's say, you know where it comes up, just, what?
Ate them at a wedding?
Yeah, ate them like a boat.
Just the ring that you gave, right?
Like a bore, like the question is like a bore maore a esh. Let's say like on an electric pole it has glass. I think the Aruch HaShulchan even paskins kit like kiddush lavana. Do you have to see the lavana directly? So let's say I see it through the windows. I think the Aruch HaShulchan even says like even so halacha l'maisa, you're okay. You can leave your glasses on. But that is a discussion, but the accepted norm is there are those who will be machmir, but the bottom line is we assume glasses are considered seeing. So here he brings a couple of rayas about, so see, this is a key point. This gets into what Aaron O'Connor was talking about, not him, but he was quoted. Like, you could see them without, but the light makes you see it better. So here he quotes, like, huh? The bugs, yeah, back. So he says, what added to the halakha confusion was these like different type of aphids. I can't even pronounce the type of bugs, but what are they? Aphids, thrips,
yeah.
Spider mites, I can pronounce those, okay, are indeed visible to the naked eye. So he says the confusion was there are certain tiny bugs that you can see. Therefore, many rabbis thought that including these insects in the forbidden category was justified by stating that they are visible, and could at the same time insist that the microscope does not change halacha. In other words, so he's saying that even if you could see them, tiny bugs are still mutter, some of them. It's clear if you can't. What?
Who's this?
This is the guy, I'll give you his quote, but this is the guy, Rav David Feinstein's Talmud, the one, he's just in.
He's the one who asked for the water.
No, actually, that's his guy, yeah. We'll get to that, Kasha, and we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah.
You know who really asked for the water in the
air? Who?
Mr. Schiffman's nephew. Maskus. You know Herbert Maskus from Har Chama? The one who built the Har Chama?
Yeah, so
he... So he has a son who's a Talmud Chacham Mitzvah for 5-7 days.
Oh, he quoted, I heard somebody, I heard him quote some, not, I don't know if it's in the article, but I heard
he
some.
He wrote the book about Rav David's Pesachim.
Oh, yeah, that's, oh, but you are Tabam? Okay, yeah.
That's Maskus.
Okay, yeah, you know who I heard it from? I was listening to Headlines, because I was in Amnon's, or I was like riding back, what topic was, I think it was like smoking or something, cigarettes, So they were talking about, you know, Rav Moshe's Tshuva Shalom Rav Sarim Hashem. So he quotes them. So he says, yes, so Rav David, he says, you could quote Rav David, and a Maskowitz, that's where I heard the name. So he has all his, oh, so he's the one who...
Apparently, all the latest talking from Rav David is all him, you know, stirring the pot.
Oh, so it's Rav David, he's quoting Rav David to do all this stuff, yeah. So
yeah.
Again, to whether Rav Moshe would also, you know, well, today he wouldn't hold from Shalom Rav Sarim Hashem, yeah. He had Rav first on.
Yeah,
I didn't know, he said he learned by Rav Moshe. I didn't know that. Rav first.
Well, he's a Telzer.
Yeah.
They sent him to.
Okay. Because David listening to it, so, you know, what do you think of Rav? So he says, what's it for me to hold? Rav Moshe says it. Like, what do you mean, what do I think of it? I even learned by him. I was a Talmud of him. But he went on to say, his kasha, what his big thing is. What about who smoked anyone? Rav David Lichtenstein's thing is because also his father died from lung cancer. I guess he smoked. Are they pasul eidus? Could you give someone who smokes because he's violating a law but to me this? So he's trying to get everyone to say. So he has. So one of them was right first. He says, of course not. He thought his shayla was right. He said, if you someone you were the Masadic Kedushin, someone was called up and you knew he was a smoker, would you tell him you need him? He said, well, of course, number one, I wouldn't be Mavayish and Barabim, number one, of course not. So he said, okay, so afterwards, would you write over the Ksuba or the dude? He said, no. He says, number one is, Mayikar Adin, we passed it anyway, that Kosha Mishpah, you have to be Bifnei Basin. You got to do a lav Bifnei Basin, you got to be warned. And anyway, it's not so clear anyway that the nature of the Isser and this and that, therefore he wanted no part of it. And also Rav David Kohn also said the same thing for a different reason. He had Rav David Kohn on the same, you know, that no, he holds that anyway, it's considered another reason, it's addiction. A Gemara in Sanhedrin about people, or Omer Mutter, the Gemara is people who think that they're doing a very on Yantar, they think it's okay, it's Omer Mutter. So really, if you're doing something, you think it's Mutter, and you're addicted, maybe you're not. So but no one would agree with him. Everyone he had on said no. They're all kosher, like, you know. One guy said, I think it was quoting Moskowitz, he was the guy, I'm not sure who he had on. He said, my first choice would not to be. He's the only one that's the most, he said. The others wouldn't even like, give him the time of day. So either way, so this is him, this is Adam. So he says, so everyone agrees in theory, if you can't see it to the naked eye, there's nothing. He wants to even say, even if you can see it, but you got to look really hard and look, that wasn't count. So he's saying is, the tiny insects are indeed visible to the naked eye. However, in good lighting and after careful scrutiny, you could see it. So he said, what about these? So he says many people made a mistake to think you have to check for those. He's saying you don't have to. He's saying, however, the halacha does not require extra lighting and careful scrutiny. Why? He says a cursory inspection is sufficient. Why? How do I know? Because they are not easily noticeable. They are considered non-existent or butto. And he says, go check Rev. Eitan Haken's article on Lechem something. He has a whole article on this. But he gets a couple, he quotes here a couple of rayas right here. So I'll just read what he writes here. The original standard for checking produce is well in line with he wants to say, number one is checking vegetables is no different than checking anything else in halacha. So let's go look around. What are the standards? What? Yeah, so what else? So one is he quotes about checking an esrog. So he quotes in the Shulchan Aruch. It says that v'chol shinui ma'ara pasul b'chol shahu. Even a minute discoloration of the esrog is pasul. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah, and he writes as follows. V'davke kishenira l'kol. That's only if it's something you can just take a look and you can see it. Avol, im ein nira l'ayin Mach mistaka is so small, it's so thin. Visarach listakel eze kolshu sure possible. But if you have to go and you have to go and look hard, and that's not what we're talking about. Someone who you can look and see it, but you have to look through dakas, and then he quotes the Shari Tzir on there also. Masha ein kein kishet sarach iyan v'histaklus u'marachok eino nira af b'chomo eino pasol. And he says, so he wants to bring a riot from here. You have to do a regular cursory check. You don't have to be, so that even though you could see it, if after a while you keep on looking, you take lights, he's saying you're not mechuyev to. Then he gives another, then he quotes the Mishnah Berurah in Halacha by Torah scrolls. In terms of the luck is, if it's a cracked letter, it's puzzle. So he says, so how do you define it? He says, Avo, im ein fridasa nikar lehedja, if it's not, but if the crack is invisible, ashen histakel ba ein tzok aharos latina. But if the average word look, you don't see it, you don't have to look through, like, is this letter, spend 20 minutes seeing, well, is this cracked, and then find out. He's saying you do a that's his raya, you only have to do a cursory look. But then you have Rav Moshe, who writes it specifically. Rav Moshe Feinstein, I'll give you the tshuva right now. He talks about small insects and green vegetables. He quotes Rav Moshe in the Igris Moshe. Be'inyan, the small bugs and them some bekama mine yirakos. U'lehefek, dati note, yoter lahaka. He sees it's an issue. But I think what could be lenient, Kamosha, like I spoke about. Why? Something you basically can't see with the eino usur. Those are considered bugs that you can't see. And in Igaris Moshe, I think on the bottom, he quotes from, where's the Rav David Feinstein? Yes, he says that. And then Rav Moshe somewhere else, I saw him quote, that things that are camouflaged and you can't see. So that's a din of bittul. In other words, that's part of not seeing. So here, so this I found out. So the bigger chiddush here was, even if it can be seen, but if it only can be seen through a big, you have to do a deep check on it, so then you're not mechuyev to it. And then
that's a little bit hard too, because if you have a bug that's big, it's green, so you can't see it.
No, that's the bigger chiddush. No, the bigger chiddush is right. That's the second. That if it's camouflage, then that's considered. I had to see Rav Moshe in. You know, when Rav Moshe said, you know, that was a much bigger chiddush. That's a beria. The beria is not batel. So therefore, you can't even say it's batel. You have to say it doesn't exist. That it's not considered. You have to come on to re'iyah. You have to come on that it's not considered visible. Let me see if I can find where he wrote. Yeah, you had it in the footnotes somewhere.
Yeah, this was in the second last page, I think.
Okay, guys, because I'm up to that. The second to where? Because I remember reading it in the footnote.
He doesn't even mention
it. Oh, yeah, so I'm. Right, so he says like this, yeah. I studied at Masifta Teferis Yeshiva. I studied at Rav Moshe Yeshiva from 2011 to 2013. And earned smicha there under Rav David Feinstein. Rav Feinstein related to us in Russia, where he is from, that whatever green vegetables available were checked by briefly looking at them at normal reading distance with no sun or light box behind the leaf. Okay. Then he says, during one walk, the rabbi shared that in his view, an insect that is difficult to detect because it is the same color or the leaf is resting upon is buttled to the leaf. That's what he said. And on several occasions, we brought Rav David fresh dill and mint from Chinatown, that's right there in the Lower East Side, without any pre-washing, hashkach, and asked him to inspect it. He held the herbs up for a second and two, took a quick look and said it was good. So then, Barak Kasha, some readers may wonder how Rav Feinstein's approach in Bedikas Talam harmonized with the rabbi's strict approach of the copepods in New York City. That's his kasha. I'm sorry, I don't think we have an answer. I was troubled by this contradiction and asked the rabbi for clarity. I did not, however, understand his response. So in other words, he doesn't know what he answered, but he obviously, but still, Rav David did say it, but he didn't follow the distinction. And then he quotes, interesting, I recently heard the following from a prominent Rosh Yeshiva at YU, who didn't want to be quoted. Rav Joseph Beer Soloveitchik, the Rav, stated that his mother only inspected greens, just we're taking a quick look. In the past, observant Jews were not inspecting the vegetables for tiny insects, only for large, clearly visible ones. Further inspection is unnecessary. The Rosh Yeshiva, who heard this directly from the Rav, did not want to be cited by name because he deals only with the theoretical and not the practical, and the desires to stay out of the controversy. So he claims, that is a big chiddush, that it's butto. So then, in conclusion, he wants to claim it's because of the microscopes that changed. But then he says, perhaps there are three other reasons also one can say why the change was. So number one, he says, it's DDT, we'll keep it simple, the different type of insecticides. So in the USA, they were permitted from 1945 and banned in 1972. So in 72, they stopped at least legally. I know people still do it. In Israel, DDT was banned in 78. So he writes like this, since in DDT and other insecticides were very potent, there were few insects to be found in produce during those years. When the strong pesticide ceased to be used, the insects reappeared. As several decades had elapsed since these little bugs were common in leafy vegetables, consumers did not remember that in the old times, no attention. So he wants to say, because it's a practical issue, the reason why it's an issue now and it was an issue is because we don't have those. That could be why there's more of an issue on bugs. And he quotes some Dr. Zohar Amar. Maybe he's related to Amar, I don't know. He argues that modern agricultural growing techniques give insects greater opportunity to reproduce. For example, greenhouses create an artificial, warm, insect-friendly environment. So basically he says, with all these new greenhouses, that's also the cause of new bugs. That's a reason why you have issues now you wouldn't have before. And then thirdly... that what?
Bodek, even the Bodek.
Yeah.
People still find bugs.
I told you how they do it. That's the machlokas I told you. That was the machlokas, the daughter and the mother and daughter. I told you, when I went to visit someone, you know who the person is. I'm not going to say, not that it makes a difference. Not that it's Russian Hara, but I'm not going to name the person I was visiting in the emerge room. And so they were. So it was right before Pesach. The mother said, we're busy with the, we don't have time, we're gonna use bodeg lettuce. And the daughter said without batting, what are you talking about? You gotta check bodeg lettuce, because she just came back from the seminary in England. So I said, what's in the kudus hamachokis? Is people don't hold from, because what does bodeg do? Bodeg checks the lettuce, when they get it, it starts at whatever percent, 54, they check it until it's down to 10%, and then they say you don't have to check anymore. Others say no. That's only if once you find bugs, you got to get it down to zero. So that's the bodeg is a big make-all. So even though you're spending $10 on a bag of lettuce, many would say those bugs are usher. But bodeg holds its mutter, the kosher bugs, because it.
I don't think you just get this stuff in here. It's too hard. It's too much money.
So the hard
stuff. They're starting. There's two companies that are starting to do it.
To do what?
A body and
the
other one.
How do you
find it? Yeah, the older one.
Wait, doing what? What are they doing?
They're doing the hydroponics.
Who is?
In Toronto.
To make it kosher?
Yeah.
You mean like bug food?
What
about hydroponics? That's a discussion. Vidyevi, you might be yoked if it grows from the ground. Okay, because that's what the whole discussion by mushrooms.
I think there was a remotion.
Yeah, remotion by mushrooms or tomatoes. As long as most of the stuff still comes from the ground, then maybe you could be...
This isn't from the ground.
I know what I'm saying, but that's...
So you said, right now, they're just...
It's a chocolate.
Finished.
Nobody's a chocolate.
No, but I'm saying
it's...
No, some hold that since...
It's a produces just for...
No, but that's a... Some would say as long as the majority are still... You go bust a robe and they would still make adam. I'm saying that's a discussion, what bracha. If there's no connection to the ground, it's harder. even if it's not in the ground, if it's made, they say it's close enough. Like mushrooms, yeah. Yeah, no, exactly, yeah. So that's the second, because first two reasons are more pragmatic. The third one is more sociological. He quotes from this guy David Kramer, I don't know. He says that when did it become, when all did the chumras come up checking bugs? It was in the mid-1980s, he says, when Orthodox Judaism felt affronted by new trends in the conservative movement. He goes on to say, he suggests that elements in the Orthodox community consciously or subconsciously imposed these chumras to erect a social barrier between the groups. So basically he wants to say it was a meta halacha issue, that it was one of the ways that they wanted to separate the conservative Jews from the religious Jews. They didn't want them to have the impact. So what's the most impact you have when you eat together? That's why we have bishulach and all that stuff. So therefore he wanted to separate. They were afraid about the influence to...
One person?
What one person?
Was it who came out with this?
No, it's one person saying it. He's saying why the rabbis became... It's a theory. David Kramer, whatever his name is.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
just...
No, so
he shares it in both.
So he wants to say that, so I'm saying is, obviously the Yesod is true, whether it was true in this case. He quotes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, not the Rav's grandfather, the Rav's son. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, not that one, that's his nephew. He's like more of a, he's into all the texts, he's more of a scholar. He's a Talmud Chacham, he's more into all the literary. So he's, to quote Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he's explaining why is everyone so machmir today? What's the cause of it? He says as follows, the shift of authority to text and their enshrinement as the sole source of authenticity have had far... He says today the problem is you used to learn things at home, you spoke to a Rebbe, now it's all people don't know anything, like Baal Shul, they have no Rebbe, they sit there reading Svarim, and that's there's no Mesorah anymore today. Mesorah is based, so he says, let me just quote you, he says, not only has the shift contributed, as we have seen, to the policy of religious stringencies and altered the nature of religious performance, he says, a religiosity rooted in text is a religiosity transmitted in schools, which was hardly the case in the old and deeply settled communities of the past. There, the school has been second by far to the home in the inculcation of value. He wants to claim that it's part of the general thing that people don't have rebbeim, people just, so there's no Mesorah, and therefore, we never went by the strict text, like the strict text that, but you have to know what actually was practiced, in other words, the theory and the practice. So many things are on the books, but I think Rav Moshe, when he was speaking to scientists once in YU, he was he was saying the difference between Torah, science is all, you go by what it says, but by Torah is a Mesorah. You have to go, you learn from one generation to the next, and therefore you have to, that's why we have the oral, the oral pell is, dynamic in terms of that. So therefore he wants to say it was more of a social, it was a meta halacha issue. That was one of the, the Yesod is true. They always try to separate you. So therefore he was saying, because of, in fact, look what he wrote here in the article, and he's talking about conservative, he's saying, so if the non-Orthodox were dangerous because of their ordination of women rabbis and including gays and lesbians and who knows what else, then this redoubled commitment to the most stringent interpretations of kashrus would guarantee that the Orthodox would stay far away from them, because if you don't check bugs, who's going to eat there? In fact, what was I just going to say? Yeah, in fact, I just saw, I saw it in the Yeshiva News. They wanted the OU, there someone wrote a letter to the OU saying that they want, because the Young Israel of Riverdale, that's the, Rob Avi Weiss used to be the rabbi, he's retired now, so they have
a
young
Israel, I don't know if it's a Young Israel? I don't know if it's
a
Young Israel.
Yeah, but it's affiliate. I mean, OU, you're right, not Young Israel, OU, yeah, you're right. OU, so it's OU affiliated. They wanted OU to take off the affiliation because he announced, I guess he gave them, there were two men are getting married, and he gave them Mazel Tov or something?
Yeah.
So the question, so he wanted, and so that was just in the Yeshiva news. It was just a letter to the OU. I don't know, has OU responded yet? OU hasn't disassociated with them, and they haven't commented, so they need time to respond. They got to speak to the Gedolim and the OU and see what their response will be. I guess, but that's for Kashrut. If Shechter's in charge of Kashrut, I don't know if they ask him about his opinion on these issues. And yes, I know.
So,
because Rav Shechter always to take care. He took care of all the in the OU. Rav Shechter took care of all the kolim and all that. And Rav Belsky used to take care of the practo. He knew like every ingredient by. Like Rav Belsky was amazing. Besides being, he knew all the practical. Rav Shechter didn't know any ingredient. So they used to go to Rav Belsky to get the. So I don't know. So they still haven't got. One rumor was with David Cohen, but I don't know. I don't know in terms of him taking on. I don't know who the OU sheet is in general. But either way, but that's true in terms of it is true. We find in whether that's the cause of it. So he gives three other reasons that. The reasons though, either because of the DD, no more pesticides, and therefore that makes sense, there'll be more bugs, and that's why it's more of an issue, or because of, I think it's more
like the fact that there's no bugs for that 30-year period. We lost the Masora and checked, no one checked at all.
Right? Yeah.
No one has to check.
Let us clarify this very clearly. He lived over 100 years ago, kind of in Shabura, in Iraq, and he writes very clearly that for Mar, do not eat the leaves. It's impossible to check. And he brings a story down that some lady was checking leaves for Marma. And she put it outside on a carpet to check them. Because the sun is deep. And he said, how many hairs do you have on your hair? She's like, I have no idea. She's like, that's how many used to remember from feeding it.
Yeah, there are those. I'm saying he quotes.
It's definitely not new.
Yeah, no. And he has different people. I think
he brings that.
No, he has Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he brings down.
He started when the microscope started, which was in the 1650s.
Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he quotes about using special lights or going. I mean, obviously, I'm saying this. I didn't have to quote all the people who say it's us, right? So I was just quoting the others. But obviously, because the whole article. He quotes all the people who say it's Asher also. He's saying in his opinion, and he's claiming that's Rav David, Rav Moshe,
I confirmed it, Rav Moshe. Yeah. That's a fine secret
thing.
My friend married a Templar.
Yeah.
He took on all the Menhagei
So
he doesn't have his own Pesach? So he doesn't want to talk. He says for Rabbi, that's not his object.
He doesn't check raspberries. He doesn't check what?
Raspberries, any of the berries.
Berries he'll eat straight up. And what about vegetables?
So vegetables he just practically because he lives in Brooklyn. It's easy to buy a Bopek or whatever.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
The fact that he wants to spend his money on that.
So Rav David right now, how does he check vegetables? According to Moskowitz. He takes out the
letter.
According to the article.
You can't use the water.
You can't use the water to wash the vegetable. Oh, but it's good. He says you don't have to wash it. You don't have to wash it. So you don't. If you put water on it, it's trash. So then the copepods go onto the lettuce. I guess that's. Yeah, so.
What
cheetah
is your filter?
He says, well, what
cheetah? What cheetah is your filter?
Oh, they even with
filter in New York.
Yeah, I think Rav Shechter holds it tusser, but I think that's a copepod. He holds it's a problem.
Really?
Because he holds because you can see them. I heard his son say it. I heard Shai. I'm assuming he was quoting his father. Because you could actually see them if you look hard enough, but then if that doesn't fit in with the other sheets, how come I don't have to look hard for the veggies? But either, I think Rebelski said it's not a problem. That was, you know, Rebelski, I think, was Mako. And the, yeah, but that's, yeah, so that's the same issue. In other words, it, right, so if you hold the kopai, because even he said, if you look long enough, so then it's based on what we're saying here, so then, right, it doesn't make sense that Rebbe Feinstein would say the kopai's are usher. So, yeah, so, exactly. I said we have steerers. We have the Kobe, but you need a filter, but you don't, you know, but in terms of seeing, so that's what we, so we have it in both directions. We have, so I think it's a Teferis Yisrael, the one who they won't let into, they don't let the Sefer into Hasidish Yeshivas. That's because when he wrote about Metzitza Bepeh, I even have it here. I finally saw the Teferis Yisrael because I quoted it, I got his headlines on the Komos. It's in the beginning of 19th Perek where the first year writes, no mitzitza today, because it's only because of danger, and the Hasidim don't, in some Hasidim, they don't let the Teferis Yisrael in because of that. But either way, he said some other stuff also, so he says, well, that's the way Rav Shechter likes saying anyway, maybe it's exaggerating, but either way, that's what he likes saying. So, and then he put, and so they point out over here that, he writes that, let's say there's a certain fish, and they have fins and scales, but the only way you could see it with a microscope, so it's traced. We don't consider that, we consider that they don't have...
The scales, you can only see the scales.
You can't see either, you can't see the fins or scales. In other words, you can't see what's needed, but even though everyone knows it, you know they're there.
So do you have a misora by this fish, or no misora?
No, there's no misora on the fish. If, you know what I'm saying? That gets into whether you need a Masorah by fish or not. But I'm just saying the bottom line is, it's a fish, so he says it's one of these, he brought it down in, I'm not sure where I saw the Teferis Yisrael, about with, maybe has it in here. Either way, I saw it somewhere. So he writes that it's also to eat. Because why? Because there's no Re'iyah. And the opposite I said is, what? And the opposite is...
You said over here, and say that if it's
no, I'm
right
saying
over there,
no. Here, you're talking about the microscope.
No, I'm saying no.
No, I'm saying not. There, we're talking about seeing it. You can see it with your naked eye, but it's difficult. That's different than a microscope.
Because if it's not there, though, is what you're saying. Though,
yeah, but no, it's the same. Yourself, that, no, that's the, same that's the question. No, that's the question. Everyone agrees with the microscope. It's not there.
Right.
The machoka seems to be if you can't see it, if you look hard enough, or in sunlight, is that considered seeing it? That's a separate machlokes. So but
Malavid seems to be understanding Ramosha not like that.
Malavid Ramosha in terms of checking vegetables? Or in terms
he just the way he quotes Ramosha to say that if you can't see it, only with the microscope, the Torah never asks it. But if you can't see it because it's like hidden, or because you know, you need sunlight to see it, electricity light, like here is not enough, that for sure is us.
He's saying so quite.
But if you just move it to a different background, you'll be able to see it, then Vadai Shechar Kazarasar Bechir. It's possible that it's us.
Yeah.
It's after we go to Ramosha.
I know, that's what I would have said, but I would have said that also, but then I couldn't believe Ramosha said it. I'm saying, yeah, I'm saying it. But is he saying Ramosha or he's saying it? He's saying it's pasha to him, not that Rav Moshe says it.
He first quotes that if it's too small, you need a microscope, the Torah never asked that. He quotes Rav Moshe and Rav Moshe. And he says right afterwards, Ulam, if you can see it, it's just the where it is right now, you can't recognize it. That's definitely
us. Yeah, so because this is where
it sounds like that he's learning that from Ramosha.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess so, because Ramosha, right. So I guess, either way, but that's, he seems to say it in the truth. I guess if you could read, yeah. So either way, yeah. So but we have the opposite. I said also last week the Tehillim case, where you know also the same, so that's a chumrah in the case of the fish, that even though the fish has fit, you can't eat it because. But right. But the case of the Tehillim, you know there's a Tehillim, but the one you can't see, the Ikara did its mutter to bring it into a Beisak Kisei, but why? Because it's right. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. You could do Kiddush Ravana through a glass. We assume, I guess he's assuming then that you ought to do it inside then. Because some, you know.
Oh, it makes sense because I know he lived in a very cool time.
As I say.
Yeah, that's why he also quotes that for a sukkah to be kosher, it needs at least three walls in a bit. Like, not two walls in a bit.
Right.
Because
it's freezing cold.
Cool.
Right, so then you want me to right. So you're asking me, it's a case where the Gemara says, the Gemara says it's usher, and when someone will say it's mutter, you want them to know. Yes, the Rav Moshe has it by Pitsua Daka. The Gemara in Nevamos talks about, well, the Pasuk in the Chumash, that someone who has like, there's debates and one gets, you know, so the Shaila they ask Rav Moshe about someone needs a biopsy on one of his testicles, so then that's going to make a hole. So what Kostosis writes over there, the reason why it's no good is because ain't no roi laholin. That's why. So Rav Moshe writes, so we know Bizman Azeh, that it's not, you can have kids even if you only have one and not two. And so therefore Rav Moshe writes that.
What about the science side of things?
Yeah, so yes, Rav Moshe writes, so therefore that you can. So the Gemara says it's us, the Rav Moshe says based on medical science, we don't accept it. And you know, also we don't accept, also another one is, the Gemara talks about someone is born in the eighth month.
Oh, you can't
be yeah, Ben Ches can't live. You can't be Machal Shabbos for him.
So
he said, it's most of the Pshit. Of course, today a Ben Ches. I don't know if anyone would say that Bizman Hazeh, that you wouldn't be Machal Shabbos. You know, so you have them both direct. That, I agree, that's what you really tested. Where the Gemara says it's Usher, and you say it's Mutter. The Gemara says it's Mutter. So you know, okay, like we do a machmir, but you know, then you get into whole mitzitza bepeh, which is the opposite, where the Gemara says mitzitza bepeh is healthy, and science, then you know, then it's the opposite extreme. Yes, yeah, so then you get into so I said, the Tiferes Yisrael writes that he holds you don't need. It was the Shiloh. That so they ask the Chasim, it comes back to the Chasim Sofer. The Chasim Sofer, not in his Tshuvas, but the Rav Horowitz from Vienna, probably a descendant of the Shlach, he asked a case where you couldn't do mitzitza bepeh, could you do it some other way? So it was just because it was a sakana, and he said the Chasim Sofer writes, we don't get involved in Kabbalah stuff. When even this sakana ksas, I'll give his Russian
name.
Because the Gemara says pshita, it's a sakana. The Gemara says if someone a mole doesn't do mitzitzi, you throw him out of there. Right? Why do you fire him? It makes it no, because you're putting the kid in sakana. So here's the shaila to the. He has the chasim sofer. Think if I could find it right here. So he says, yeah, so actually they didn't know it was herpes, but that's what some claim it was, but they didn't know what it was called. So he says, the Chasim Sofer writes, Ki lo nimsa b'mitzitza b'bet dafka kiyem u'mukubolim, is the Chasim Sofer. It's only based on Kabbalah, the ain't gonna esek b'nistaras, Hecha de Ikel Mecha Shu Sakanta Kaldo. So he says it's Pasha. So but Maram Shik, his Talmud, writes, anyone who claims that you don't have to do a mitzitza bepeh today, Misha Omer, the mitzitza bepeh who sakana o mazik yeled, who omer sheker muchla. Of a mefursim enos, he goes, he clearly didn't know the Chasim's Rebbe, he was the Talmud Mubak. So some want to claim the Chasim Sofer, they want to claim the Tshuva is a Mizuya, they like claiming. They want to say it's a false, but it's not mashma that way at all. And they basically, and that's the Binyan Tzion, he's also Dafka Mitzitza Bepeh, but that's also because he was during the time of the Maskilim. So therefore, some want to say, some want to claim the Chasim Sofer was a Horasha, because it was a time of the Reform movement in the Maskilim, and else they're going to butt, if you would have changed, you could change it, let's get rid of the Mitzvah Mila. So some want to claim it was social issues, another sociological issue. So, but Pashas is not what the Chasim Sofer holds, and because from another Tshuva clearly writes,
you know, I think it was Prashna.
No, I don't. I think people claim it is, but they just want to, and even the Hungarian rabbis really know, because any Hungarian moel, when he's dealing with a non-from person, and the person says, I'm not, they do mitzitza b'kli.
They do
b'kli. Yeah, they say it's halach l'moshe misinai, they claim halach l'moshe misinai, all this kind of stuff.
Hungarian.
Yeah, that's where it comes from. So, Maram Shik, So therefore, it's, so right here, he quotes, I heard it from Rav Shakta, but in, he quotes from his sefer. I didn't realize Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said it that strong, because I never, but this is what he writes in here. He likes the Teferis Yisrael. Let's go see if I can find it here in the Nefesh HaRav. If that's, I'll just tell you outside. The Binyan Sinu, he was worried about the Maskilim. He says, Dafka Matzitza Bepeyanid, we can't deviate from it. You know, others will claim it's not a Sakana. You know, how much of Sakana is it? Or it's still a Sakana. No, the Chazan Sof is the one, and also the Rav Chaim, there's a child, Rav Chaim the Soloveitchik already said you could do Mitzitza B'Kli. I'll conclude, I'll tell you a Maisa with the Rav, and Rav, I just want to see if I can find it inside, and then I'll just tell it to you. I assume it's in here, but I don't know why I can't find it. He quotes the Igris Moshe by, can you become a football player? Because that's for another time. Either I'll tell you what he says, and I don't know, can't find it. But he says even, I guess in the print, because the Rav always says over that when he went to Queens, and it was actually Rav Fabian Schoenfeld, who was the rabbi, the youngest, so his son, I guess, was getting gemaled. So the Rav, he was a talent of the, I guess the Rav came to the Mila. So the Moel was a Hungarian, I guess, Dafka Mitzitza Bepegai. The Rav kept on telling him, nope. But then I don't know whether this whole thing happened in 30 seconds or 30 minutes, but he realized the guy was going to do it. He said, you're lucky my father's not here. This is the Rav saying. You're lucky, Rav Moshe, because if my father was here, he'd throw you out of here. He would not permit you to do a Mitzitza B'Peh. I'm a little more tolerant than my father, so I'll let you do it. I really don't want you to do Mitzitza B'Peh. But the big, you know, Rav, I'm not going to make a big machlokas, you can do a mitzitza b'peh. So the way he quotes Nefesh HaRav is the Rav Moshe held that maybe you don't even need mitzitza klal. But that's the way he quoted, you know, but I'm saying it's certainly not, that's why they went with mitzitza b'kli, because that covers, so no reputable, no, even though the Teferis Yisrael says, but he's saying it's Pashas HaGemara, that the Sakana, but no reputable moel will not do. We're not talking about not doing mitzitza. Everyone's going to do mitzitza today. I guess it's a big chiddush that you could do mitzitza on Shabbos. I'm just thinking, like, because the only reason you could do a mitzitza because why? Because really we assume mitzitza is not part of Ikra Din. Mitzitza is not part of the Mila. It's moel below para. So I'm just thinking, why are you allowed to do mitzitza on Shabbos? Because the meal is done, unless maybe it has to do, I'm just thinking aloud, there's another Gemara about sits and she'ino ma'akvin, that maybe that the Gemara says that if you're still involved in the Mila, even on things, so maybe it's along those lines. Those pashas then, that would be enough. The Gemara, because specifically when it comes to the water, the Gemara says you're Machal Shabbos, and the Machaber writes even in the 1500s, it's also to heat up hot water anymore because Nishtanat, because today we have medicine you can put on. We don't need the hot water anymore. So the Gemara says explicitly they will machal Shabbos. So interesting, by the water we don't do, which was death, but Mitzitza we still do. But I'm saying, so that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of nuance, a lot of examples where it seems to go, that's on, you know, there is no like one, you know, one cookie fits all. So these are some of the issues I'll be discussing. So this is the Friday night.